Neil Haley's show in the Celebrity Interviews, live from the Grotto with Greg Hanna. Greg, what's going on, man? How are you?
I'm doing amazing. We had a great day today, you know, on location and out of the studio, but excited to live stream and meet our amazing guest.
Yes. Lisa Welchel's joining us. And you know what, Lisa? Facts of Life and much, much more. And we're going to learn about your story and your latest show hosting. And Lisa, you have not aged a bit in how many years? What do you have, the fountain of youth? I was talking to my colleague off air, and he says she's still hot. So,
oh, thank you.
So
thank you.
Yeah, I will definitely do that. Shout out to Aaron Lester, but kind of another one of our syndicators. You know, Lisa, you must take care of yourself in that way to live this, or you love the life you live. I think that might be it. I think that people don't age
as much today. And the fact that I come from good genes. My mom looks young.
There you go. Then you knew you were set. Right. Yeah. Exactly. All right, Greg, go with your first question for Lisa.
Thanks. Hey, Lisa. So tell me, how did you get the opportunity to get the role on Facts of Life?
Well, I auditioned but the little nugget of trivia there is I auditioned at the same time for a show that was on the air called Hello, Larry. It was McLean Stevenson and Kim Richards, and there was an older sister. And in the second, I guess they had the first season, the second season, the older sister had some drug problems. So they recast the role of the older sister. And I got that role at the same time I got the role of Blair. But Facts of Life was just a pilot. The other was a definite deal for at least another year of work. But I was really such a newbie in the business. I didn't know the difference. I just thought, well, Blair, the character of Blair seems so much more fun. I'd rather have that one. So I took that. It's great because that turned, Hello, Larry, I think was canceled after the second year.
Yeah. So you made the right choice.
And
did you ever think that, Facts of Life, when you first started the show, it would be still iconic today, so many years later?
Definitely not. Again, I was 16. I'm still a teenager at that point. I wasn't thinking that far ahead. I wasn't one of these kids that, lived for show business. I loved it. And I had done it since I was a little kid and had been on Mickey Mouse Club at 12. But it wasn't like I was plotting this major career. So it was all just it just happened. And I got to go along for the ride.
All right.
That's wild. So do you have like one or more, or what's your best memory that you have from being on Facts of Life?
Wow, gosh. I don't know that there's one best memory. I just think that they gave us a lot of freedom to be kids and to play and to have fun because we were also very professional and we got the job done. So I would say just overall, it was fun to come to work. And I loved the character. But we also just cut up and played. And then of course, hey, who can beat it when somebody as handsome as George Clooney comes on and joins the cast? It's a good reason to get up and go to work every day.
Yeah,
most definitely. And and I watched the documentary on Facts of Life and kind of the behind the scenes and all the different things. But there were so many topics that were covered on the show that really were game changers, a change of everything. Wouldn't you agree that conversations that were never put on television before, that makes it so iconic that people
always see Norman Lear for yes. Sure. Really. And I wouldn't even say that he was shaping the culture. I think he was reflecting where the culture really was and was going in a way that, I think that we were able to then see it on screen. And in many cases, hopefully embrace the evolution of where we were as America is, well, the world really, but mostly America.
But come on, it came on everywhere. I'm sure worldwide, when you travel anywhere in the world, they see you. I mean, it's so funny. Like before I got to interview some of these famous people on shows I would watch when I was a professional wrestler and I was enlisting in French and Spanish. And I'm like, and then, oh, wow. Shows that we always watch like The Nanny. Then I had Fran Drescher on, and go figure, I would have thought I'd ever get to interview her when I was a professional wrestler. But those kind of things is that worldwide you're iconic. I'm sure you go anywhere and you're recognized, right? doesn't matter.
Yeah. I remember meeting an author that I really loved her book. Her name was Anita Mirjani, and she wrote a book called Dying to Be Me. And I was interviewing her for something else. And she said that she grew up in Japan, but she came from, I think she came from a Hindu family, but she learned to speak English watching Facts of Life.
Wow.
How did, the experiences on Facts of Life shape your personal and professional development?
You know, that's a good question. My personal development has always been very, very separate from my work. So I don't know that it really, obviously it shaped it because it was such an impactful, situation in my life. But really, it was a job I went to, and then I came home, and it was separate. I never really brought my work home with me.
And that's big, right? To not bring your work home with you and to be able to separate the two. And I think that's why, you look at your career after Facts of Life, you were able to, have a semblance of a real life at times, right? Because you were able to not, take the whole Hollywood persona. You were naive when you got the job, and you really didn't change as a person based on how you were raised. Would you agree?
And also, we finished the Facts of Life in March of 88. I was 24, got married in 89, then had a child in 90, and another child in 91, and another child in 92. And so I really went from a full-time job as an actress to a full-time job as a mom. And, both were great. So it wasn't like I felt like I was missing anything, because I had this other wonderful life that was being born.
Literally.
Exactly.
So after that break, when you were off having children and enjoying life and so on, what inspired you to return back to TV and, jump onto Survivor?
Well, Survivor, it wasn't a return to TV for me. It was just the fact that I love the show. I had watched it since its inception, and I love games. I love strategy. I just love the social, psychological aspect of it. And I was a fan of the show and wanted to be on the show as a contestant. And it had nothing to do with the fact that it was on television. I wanted to be a part of it. And it just happened to be that because it was such a successful season and I made it all the way to the end, that it did open some doors for me to kind of get back into show business. But that wasn't the goal.
But it ended up changing, right? Yeah. You went back right to entertainment from that. So is Survivor kind of the back end entertainment, even though you didn't plan on it, to get the other opportunities of reality shows and then, more reunions of the Facts of Life and now what you're doing now?
Well, there hasn't been any reunions of Facts of Life since Survivor. So after Survivor, the very first thing that happened, I guess Tyler Perry's a big Survivor fan. So he reached out to me right after I finished the episode and said, "Hey, I'm doing a movie, a Madea movie. I got a role for you. Do you want to be in it?" Yeah, sure. And then Hallmark Channel called and had a couple of, movies for me. And so it really just kind of, yeah, great. I guess I'm back in this, which was great.
Wow. Especially when they're all coming to you. Right, Greg? Yeah.
That's exactly right. That's amazing. So let's just take a quick shift to your spiritual journey. And, how has that influenced your choices for your career in advocacy work now?
Well, it influenced them in one way back in the day, in that I just so grateful for my upbringing as a Christian and really the kind of the guidelines that I lived within. I believe that is what kept me sane and not off the deep end, which happens to so many of us child stars. And so it impacted my roles and whatever I would take or not take, and it impacted my ability kind of to stay grounded. I would say in the last 10 or so years that my own belief system has changed, significantly. I've actually just written a book that'll be out in a couple, probably 18 months or so, called Don't Throw the Baby Jesus Out with the Bathwater. And it's about my own journey of, I would no longer identify as a Christian, but I would absolutely identify as a Christ follower. And sadly, those aren't always the same thing.
How would you say they're different? And then we'll get to your show. Yeah.
Well, I mean, I think Jesus, for one thing, he was, you know, he was kind of all about the poor and the immigrant and the the sick and, you know, all the, and I would say that a large faction of Christians right now, really would, I wouldn't say they follow that aspect of Jesus's teachings of reaching out and looking out for the more marginalized and the more on the outskirts or the rejected, which Jesus was all about that.
Interesting. Interesting. Go ahead, Greg. So,
yeah. If we just talk about, you know, your charitable and social initiatives, you know, what are some of the causes that you're most passionate about right now?
I would say I'm very passionate about mental health. I'm so happy to see that there's so many people are coming forward and just destigmatizing it. I think I have been impacted by it peripherally, and the fact that more and more people are able to say, hey, you know, this is, if you had diabetes, you would take some insulin shots. So if there's something off in your brain chemistry, there's some medication for it. And so I really am so happy to hear that is something that is being talked about. I'm married to a psychologist, so, you know, probably no surprise there as well, that that's something that I believe that there's physical sickness, and then there's also, well, you know, heart and mental wounds that need to be addressed as well.
Now let's talk about being a host, right? I mean, okay. you're the perfect candidate, right? You know, like just how you're able to present yourself, even from the days when you were 16. So let's talk about Collector's Call and what you do as host of it.
I love this job so much because I'm so curious about people. I love stories, passionate people. You know, you could just spend all day listening to them because it just overflows. And so these collectors, I travel the country when we find people who have amazing collections, and we show the whole collection, but we highlight 6 or 7 of their items so that we can really hear their stories. How did you find these? What started this collection? 99% of the time, it's something in childhood that they're wanting to hold on to, whether it's a feeling or a relationship or just a time of life. And then we bring an expert in, they appraise the items. At the end, they offer a trade for an item that they know the collector wants, but they have to give up an item, which these collectors, there's so much heart attached to what they're collecting. It's really difficult for them to give up. So I love it for the people. I also love what I learn. You know, it's what we've got a great episode coming up Sunday night. It's Star Wars Collector. I mean, this guy has almost everything with Star. He's got the Death Star. I mean, he had it in his house, truly, because it was used like a small model. He's got Princess Leia's metal bikini and Han Solo's jacket. He's got pieces of C-3PO. He has just everything. And so, I mean, that's really, really fun. The next week, we have a Survivor collection. And that's really, you know, of course, I love that. But I also love, like, we had a collector last week that was science fiction and horror toys. Well, I'm not a big science fiction and horror fan, but those are the episodes where I get to learn a lot. I get to, and you know, their excitement is contagious. And so it's a win-win for me. And I think for the viewers as well.
Fans are what keeps the business going. It keeps people to do things. You need fans, or you don't have whatever, you're not making money and you're not having people, it's crickets in so many ways, and collectors. And that's the part of a brand, right? Star Wars. Think about it, how iconic and all those different things. Are you a Star Wars fan? So are you, so do you show excitement of the collection and all that? Are you a fan of it?
Yeah, I am. I absolutely am. I show it definitely is all genuine excitement. But even in collections that it's not something, I've never been a huge rock and roll fan, but we've done Kiss and Queen and I wish I could remember off the top of my head. We've got a great, what's that band that was up out of Seattle, grunge band? Name the.
Oh, I can't. I would say Stone Temple Pilots, but it's
is
not
it,
that.
Pearl you know, Jam. It might be Nirvana.
Nirvana. Okay.
Maybe.
See, but anyway, I'm a rock and roll.
I'm not familiar with them, but I tell you what, I came to really appreciate them through the collection.
You can see I'm more of the Star Wars fan than music. Even though I love music, I don't have like collections and all that stuff. Go ahead, Greg. You have your final question.
Are you saying you don't have your vinyl and your turntable out?
No, but you do, Greg, right? You have a vinyl collection. Do you?
Yeah, I do. I do have a vinyl collection, but yeah, it's fun.
All right. Okay. So go ahead with your final question you asked all our celebrities.
Yeah, perfect. Hey, Lisa, it's been a real pleasure.
Thank you for being so flexible with the time.
Yeah. Oh yeah, it was perfect. It was fun, like being in the car coming down and then popping into the studio and then flipping it over. So Zoom has a nice, easy handoff. So that worked out pretty good. So I always ask all our guests this question because I love to learn and develop myself personally. And I know all the listeners do as well. So I'm excited to get your answer today. Lisa, what would you tell me is the most important thing in life you've ever learned?
I think I think that the most important thing in life that I'm still learning, and that is, if I truly and genuinely love myself, all of me, things that I would like to change, things that feel messy, things that feel wounded, things that feel like they're not what I would want to be about myself. And yet I just love all of me. The way that a mother loves a child when they're throwing a temper tantrum and they got a snotty nose and got poop all over them. You know, it doesn't matter. There's the love is for that child. If I can learn to love myself that way, then what happens in life or how other people feel about me or react to me, it won't impact me and throw me off so much because I'm not living for their love. I love myself, and they can have their opinion and their judgments and, you know, perspective all they want. But if I don't take it in and let it, you know, upset me, not that we don't take in and because our impact matters, but I'm going to kind of run it by, okay, I'll take that, but it doesn't change how I feel about myself. I love myself, and I'm still learning that one.
That's a hard one, but it's a great one, and it's a great life lesson. Right, Greg?
It really is.
All right. So loving yourself, as Dee Wallace talked about this all the time.
Yeah.
She said about how you got to love yourself first before loving anybody else. And you can't love other people without loving yourself. So Lisa, best place.
We are going to love other people absolutely the same way we love ourselves. So if we're judging ourselves, we're going to judge those same things in other people. So it's going to show up.
All right. So we can check out your TV show on MeTV, and we can check that out on any cable channel, and any best place to find info on you? Where can we go?
You can just go online, MeTV, and find where it streams near you. It's on Sunday nights, 6:30, 5:30 Central.
Appreciate it. This is a great time. Thanks again, Lisa.
Thank you.
You're welcome. That was a special simulcast, the Neil Haley Show and Celebrity Interviews, live from the Grotto with Greg Hanna. Guys, take care.